Good morning. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff, and you're listening to Dental MD Radio Show on KKNW, 1150 AM Alternative Talk. And thank you very much for listening. I've been on the air for 7 years, and so I have a lot of archives. You can go to the station, KKNW. What's the station? Oh, 1150kknw.com. There it is. Okay. And look up Dental MD archives. And I have a lot of shows on various topics like root canals, mercury safety, kids, early orthodontics, TMJ, confusion, all kinds of shows on all kinds of topics, dental materials. And today I'm going to talk about mouth guards. And the reason I call it mouth guard is because that's kind of a lay term. And it's a catch-all term because there are a lot of different types of guards that somebody might need. And there are some kinds of guards that if you have more than one problem, there's a type of guard that solves more than one problem at a time. So I'm going to talk about night guards, TMJ, splints and appliances, and sleep appliances. And I'm going to describe the differences and what these various appliances can do for you, and what the requirements are to qualify to need one of these. And also, I'm going to talk about how you can look in the mirror, not while you're driving, obviously, but when you are at home, look in the mirror. I'm going to give you some specific things to look for with your teeth to see if you have excessive wear, signs of damage from pressure and grinding and clenching. And there are a lot of different signs. Some people have one sign and other people have multiple. And I'm also going to talk about why people grind their teeth, which I'll just give you a little header on that one, which is there's no consensus on this. In the profession, nobody really understands or can explain why some people grind their teeth. Some people think that they know, but it just doesn't really hold up consistently from one patient to the next as far as being a reason. So, night guards, mouth guards. Night guards are a type of mouth guard. I mean, are we guarding your mouth? What are we guarding with these things? What are we trying to accomplish? So, as far as mouth guards go, they can be comfortable or uncomfortable. They can be custom made and be uncomfortable. They can be custom made and be comfortable. You could buy a type of guard online or in a drugstore that is not a custom, but maybe somewhat customizable. So you can like heat it up and then bite into it and then wear that. These are not always made of the best kinds of plastic, and they are not always the most comfortable. They are frequently very bulky and result in excessive salivation, at least at first, until your body figures out that this thing cannot be digested and stops throwing saliva at it. And that is true for even custom guards that are frequently made nice and thick so they don't break. But thick means uncomfortable, usually, depending on where the thickness is. If it's thick on the inside where your tongue is, you are going to notice that. So these things, there are so many different ways to design them, as many different ways to design these as there are people. And, you know, I've been treating a lot of different kinds of issues over the years. I've been practicing for 30 years. This year is 30. Woohoo! And I've had my practice in Issaquah for 20 years this year. So been here in the area for quite a while. And I've treated all kinds of problems. I have extra training in both TMJ therapy. TMJ is temporomandibular joint, in case you were wondering. That is the jaw joint right in front of your ear. And that joint, if you're going to treat that joint, it really requires a lot of extra training to understand the anatomy and understand the etiology or cause of different kinds of problems that the joint can have. And the other area where I have a lot of extra training and nearly certified, I passed two certification exams for two different organizations for sleep apnea treatment. I didn't end up getting my certification for that because at the time that I did it, I didn't have enough cases to submit. I had almost enough, but I did pass all their exams and take many, many, many hours of training and a mini residency in Boston as well in TMJ and sleep apnea. So I'm extremely well trained in all of these areas. And you don't have to have a certification to practice. This is all to practice making sleep appliances. That is all under the licensure of being a dentist already, which I have that license, obviously. And so the extra training that I received and the exams I took, which showed that I had the knowledge and to move forward, is why I can design an appliance that can solve a lot of different kinds of problems all at the same time. But some dentists only treat sleep, and so they only make sleep appliances, and they don't necessarily understand what the impact is on your jaw joint. And frankly, I've heard dentists say things, insensitive things like, well, you know, it doesn't matter if your jaw hurts, you know, we're saving your life. We're making it so you can breathe when you're sleeping. Never mind about your jaw joint. That's minor. That's not a big thing. It's breathing and staying alive. That's the big thing. And, you know, that's kind of insensitive for somebody having TMJ clicking and pain and can't bite on their back teeth normally like they used to because of wearing a different type of appliance. But, you know, that's a dentist that doesn't treat TMJ, and so that TMJ problem you have is really some other dentist's problem now. And so being holistic, that is what led me to learn all these different areas so that no matter what I do for you as a patient or make for you as a mouth guard or any kind of guard or appliance to wear, I'm going to make sure that I understand all of the different possible impacts that this guard could have on your teeth, your jaw joint, your airway, all of that, including your cranial bones. I actually have taken a 40-hour course in cranial osteopathy for dentists. So I even have that other missing link that a lot of dentists never understand or learn about, which is every single thing that we do affects the motion and interaction of your cranial bones with each other and the motion and flow of there's a pulse, a movement from one bone to another, and that should be symmetrical and it should be rhythmic and it varies depending on what you're doing and feeling. But when it's jammed or there's an injury to the neck or the head that results in some asymmetry internally between the different bones, that can over time cause nerve problems. You know, there's a lot of cranial nerves, 12 of them, and it can impinge on some of these, or it can restrict the flow of fluids or blood flow, and it can result over time in impairments and problems. Sometimes it's as simple as, you know, tinnitus or vertigo. Things like that can sometimes be traced back to cranial bones that are not moving the way that they are supposed to. So I even understand what the possible impacts are of a mouth guard or not wearing one on the cranial motion, cranial bones and structures. So being holistic, I, you know, minded and in my lifestyle and just the way I do everything, I wanted to know as much as possible about all of the different possible ways that the things that I do as a dentist could impact other parts of you, either chemically or physically, structurally, etc. So, you know, I did sort of obsessively go and get educated thoroughly on a lot of different areas. So I'm going to, in the next segment, I'm going to describe some of the night guards and how they can be made more comfortable. But a lot of people will say, you know, but it's natural to not have a guard. Why should I use this artificial thing that I have to wear in my mouth every night? What is going on with me that I need this thing, this crutch? And that is an extremely good point. It would be great if we didn't need to wear these things. It really does seem unnatural to have to wear a thing at night, and a lot of people don't want to do that. And I completely understand. Also, these things are plastic, but some plastics are better than others, and we try to always use the ones that have the least chemical impact for you, because you don't want to be exposed to chemicals unnecessarily that off-gas from some of the cheaper plastics. So I'm going to also explain what some of the conditions are that make it so that you can sleep more comfortably and do less damage to your teeth and surrounding structures by wearing something. But I understand that it's, you know, there's a resistance to having to wear something at night. So we're going to get into all of that. And so you're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoth. If you have questions about mouth guards or any kind of guards or any other subject that I talk about, give us a call, 425-427-8899. Or you can reach the front desk by email to ask your questions or set up appointments. And that is appointments@naturaldentist.com. I'll be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I know, going to the dentist can be tough, but did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no-gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Alternative Talk, 1150 on AM, 98.9 HD3 on HD, 1150KKNW.com on the web.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoth. You're listening to Dental MD. And today I'm talking about mouth guards. And the reason I call it mouth guards is because that kind of covers all the different kinds of guards that people might need in their life. So, mouth guards. So, some people have done damage over time with excessive clenching and grinding of their teeth, gnashing of the teeth. Why do people gnash their teeth, grind and clench? And the technical term for this, by the way, is bruxism, B-R-U-X-ism. Another ism, yes. So bruxism is a term which means grinding and clenching of the teeth. So why is it bad to grind and clench your teeth? Now, putting your teeth together and moving around and kind of doing a grinding motion with your molars is not in and of itself harmful, but when you're asleep, you really don't have any idea how much pressure you're putting on your teeth. And certain kinds of problems can sort of get expressed as sort of abuse in the area of your jaw and your teeth. So the amount of pressure that people put on their teeth at night is much more than you would ever do, or even for some people, more than they could even physically duplicate when awake. So what is the problem? Why are people putting this much pressure on their teeth? Sometimes the muscles around the all of the chewing muscles or muscles that extend up into the skull are irritated, aggravated, just kind of need a little bit of a workout to try to get relaxed. That's one of the theories on why people grind and clench. Another theory is that if the jaw joint itself is a little bit out of position, a little bit partially dislocated in a sense, not to the point of being out of the socket, but just not, like some people have bone on bone, the cartilage has been damaged or destroyed or perforated, or the disc that's supposed to be the pillow or cushion in there is perforated or displaced, and it could have either happened during an accident or it could have just happened over time because the relationship of the upper to lower jaw isn't exactly right. And so the disc never had a comfortable amount of space to exist in the joint. So there are a lot of possible reasons why the disc and the ligaments and the cartilage and the capsule in there and the muscles around that area might be irritated or aggravated or slightly out of position or cramped for space, that kind of thing. Now, can that problem in the joints lead to clenching and grinding? We don't really know. Maybe, possibly. But regardless of the reason for the clenching and grinding action, especially if it's very heavy forces, will over time damage the structures in your mouth, such as your teeth and your gums and the bone that your teeth are sitting in. Because pressure on the teeth causes teeth to move. That's how orthodontics works. We apply pressure on one side of a tooth, gentle pressure, and then we wait. And that tooth is now leaning on the inside of its socket, leaning heavily on one wall, and the ligaments holding it in into the socket in the bone there. On the other side of the tooth are a little bit stretched, and that activity summons the osteoclasts and osteoblasts. So the little cells that come to build bone and break down bone come because there's pressure on the bone. And on the side of the tooth where the pressure is, where we're pushing the tooth in that direction, that bone is kind of in the way. So the osteoclasts come and they start taking away the bone that's in the way of that tooth moving because we've put pressure on it in that direction. So your body complies with that by removing the bone that's in the way of that direction of movement. On the other side of the tooth where the ligaments are stretched and there's a little bit of excessive space, the body sends osteoblasts to build bone on the side where there isn't enough anymore because we've pulled the tooth or pushed the tooth away from that side. So it's filling in bone on the back side of the tooth and taking away bone on the front side of the tooth, and that tooth basically swims slowly through the bone to where its final position is, which we decide when we're doing your orthodontics, when we're moving teeth. But you can also cause your teeth to move by putting a lot of pressure on them in your sleep or sometimes during the day. People sometimes will rest on their teeth or bite down and slide one direction and kind of rest leaning on some of the teeth. Yes, that can move your teeth. It definitely can and does. That's how people over time, they will come in and say, my teeth are much more crowded in the lower front than they used to be. Or my teeth have gaps and spaces where they didn't used to have gaps and spaces. Now I'm getting food stuck. What's going on? Your teeth are moving, or your fillings are shrinking and breaking. That's the other possible reason. But you definitely can move your teeth by putting pressure on them. We absolutely know this. And the other thing that happens if you're doing a lot of grinding and clenching is that you are gradually wearing your teeth down. and much faster than would normally happen if you weren't clenching and grinding, to the point where your teeth used to have these nice curvy places in between each one where the floss could easily find that little embrasure and slip in there to go in, and you can use the floss in there. If it starts to get difficult to find where the floss can go in between your teeth, it's probably because you've lost that little curvy spot in between the teeth and everything's just flat. Take a look at your teeth and see whether your front teeth are just flat across with no little indents between the teeth at the edges of the teeth, and you'll see what I mean. So these flattened teeth, a lot of times by the time we see the teeth, the enamel is already gone off the tips, the edges of the teeth. The pointy cusps are gone. They're flattened out. The front teeth are worn flat, and the front edge of the top teeth and back inside edge of the bottom front teeth will start to get sharp, and then it begins to chip. It starts to chip because enamel can't really hold a sharp edge. It's not like steel, but you've been sharpening your teeth, but that sharp edge that can't really hold up, and you know, you bite things or whatever, and it starts to just chip, and it'll have a rough feel, like a little serrated edge. And sometimes the chips are bigger and more visible and obvious. So this is one of the signs of wear on the front teeth. On the back teeth, what happens as you wear down your back teeth, and not everybody grinds the back teeth. Some people only grind, you know, or mostly grind in the front. Some people mostly grind in the back. That nobody really understands why, but it probably has something to do with the joint and the muscles and how your teeth meet, or what, you know, whether your grinding and clenching has to do with being able to breathe better, that kind of thing. So with the back teeth, there are specific ways that your molars are, there are parts of each molar that are supposed to be doing the grinding and other parts that are not supposed to directly come into function. They're not supposed to touch. They're just supposed to be close. And they support the grinding of food, but they're not supposed to be in direct contact for the chewing. However, when your working cusp, it's called, the working cusps get worn down, then the balancing cusps begin to touch. Now, what's the problem with that? Balancing cusps are not designed for that. They are, when those start to come into function, that's when teeth become sensitive. That's when you can get cracks in the teeth. If you have big fillings in your teeth and your supporting or balancing cusps are in heavy function, but you've got a big filling in that tooth, those are the cusps that are usually the first ones to break off. And if you have big fillings and you've had cusps break and ended up with onlays or crowns on those teeth to support the remaining tooth structure that didn't break yet, or somebody has looked at your teeth or taken pictures and shown you lots of cracks in your teeth, that, you know, more clenching and grinding is just going to lead to either vertical fractures in the roots or loss of cusps, you know, breaking off of cusps. And interestingly, people will say, yes, this whole quarter of my tooth, this cusp broke off, this piece of tooth, and I was only drinking water or eating scrambled eggs or something soft. Well, the thing is, that was breaking already. And then it didn't take much, you know, once it was ready to just kind of break off from your tooth. It's usually when people are eating something that they didn't think actually broke their tooth. How come this piece broke off and all I was eating was scrambled eggs? So that's actually kind of common. I don't know why. So protecting the back teeth is very important because it's painful and expensive when your back teeth crack and break. And, you know, if you get a vertical fracture in the root and it goes down past a certain point under the gum, down the root, you will not even be given the option of a root canal. I know a lot of people don't want root canals anyway, but for teeth that are dying and painful because of cracks, that those cracks can get to the point where you don't even have that option of a root canal. You're just going to lose the tooth. All right, I'm going to talk more about that in the next section. And you're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. You can give us a call, 425-427-8899, or reach the front desk appointments at naturaldentist.com to ask more questions. And I'll be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know, going to the dentist can be tough. But did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Alternative Talk, 1150, the talk of the sound.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Today I'm talking about mouth guards, and I talked about tooth wear and what happens to front teeth and what happens to back teeth, especially if they have large old fillings. And the old metal fillings were are even worse than the than a plastic filling or in a back tooth, because the plastic fillings, which are resins or composite, other names for that, they bond to the inside tooth structure and actually help sort of glue together your tooth. Bonding equals gluing. So the old metal fillings were not bonded or glued in. They were just stuffed in there. And the tooth structure around those is even more vulnerable because of the metal, and not just because it isn't bonded, but because metal expands and contracts at a different rate than tooth structure. So you might already have cracks in your teeth. And the other problem with the metal fillings, and I'm talking about mercury amalgam, is that the tooth structure had to be undermined in order for, because it's not bonded, so it had to be mechanically held in by undermining and undercutting the remaining tooth structure to get that to stay in there. And so the tooth structure around that filling is even weaker. It's not glued together and it's undermined, and it's getting cracks because the filling itself, being metal, is expanding and contracting at a different rate than your enamel when you eat and drink hot and cold foods and drinks. So if you have that situation with your molars and your clenching and grinding, you are really asking for quite a bit of trouble with your back teeth. And by the time people are 50 or even in their 40s, there can start to be real problems. You end up with root canals, you end up with crowns, maybe first a crown, and then the tooth is irritated because of cutting the tooth down to do the crown, and now it needs a root canal. Or the tooth was dying because of the cracks being so deep and killing the nerve, and you got the root canal, and then you needed to have a crown because you had a root canal. So if you have crowns on your back teeth and root canals, et cetera, that, you know, and maybe some visible cracks and maybe another tooth that's got a piece broken off, if you have that kind of a history, then you're probably clenching and grinding your teeth in your sleep. So another reason why people sometimes smack their teeth together hard when they're sleeping is because if you have any kind of airway resistance, small pharynx or throat, big tonsils or congestion, or just too much collapsibility of the airway when you're sleeping. Some people's airways kind of collapse, or the tongue is, you know, kind of too far back because you're lying on your back and blocking your airway. Those are all different things that can happen that cause apnea, airway resistance, or full-on apnea, which is a closure of the throat. And once it closes, because it's wet and mucousy and sticky, it is sometimes really difficult when you're sleeping to get your airway back open. So your body goes into an emergency mode. Your oxygen starts to drop, and your body goes into an emergency hormone frenzy to, like, get you to wake up. So it's like emergency mode, adrenaline, and everything that you would have happen during fight or flight, which, as we know, that really creates a cascade of hormone activation imbalances, especially if it's chronic, and other health problems can definitely result from that. So the airway closure, what your body has to do to try to get that airway back open, besides waking up almost all the way, this is why people don't remember it, because you only wake partially up enough to turn over, grind your teeth. When you grind your teeth and you slide your jaw forward, you are opening your airway. When you slide forward and hit your front teeth or rest on your front teeth, that action not only wears down your front teeth, but it brings your lower jaw forward enough to bring your tongue forward because it's attached. And then your airway can open a little bit, and you probably make a really big snorting noise, or you've heard someone else make this gasping, snorting noise. Now, bed partners are affected by this because it disrupts their sleep when they hear these extremely loud noises from their partner who is just getting a breath of air, but the airway was shut down for a minute or however long. And we call that secondhand snore, because the sleep partners, or anyone in the house that can hear loud gasping and snorting and snoring, it can be loud enough to affect the sleep of other people, sometimes all the way at the other end of the house. And I'm sure people have heard that kind of snoring, or at least in movies maybe. So, but that kind of snoring really does occur. And when the body goes into emergency mode and the jaw comes forward or snaps suddenly, that can cause some severe abuse to the teeth and surrounding structures. And if you have a tooth that's kind of borderline, got cracks and a big filling and that kind of stuff, you know, you're really, if you don't wear some kind of guard that either protects the teeth and or supports the jaw forward to keep that airway open, then, you know, you're really asking for quite a bit of wear and tear and problems with your back teeth and front teeth. So, okay, the sleep appliance is designed to hold your jaw in a forward position. In order to get one of those that will hold your jaw and your tongue forward, you have to get a sleep study done, because you have to have a diagnosis of whether you even have apnea, or whether it's just airway resistance, which can be just as bad for a lot of people, especially women, or whether you have mild, moderate, or severe apnea. People have this emergency response to not breathing up to, you know, 60, 70 times an hour. It can be very severe. It can, you know, mild is like 5 times an hour for an adult, and even up to 15 times an hour or 14 times an hour might still be considered mild. But it is not mild when you look at the toll that this takes on your health and on your teeth. So the other structures that get damaged when you're putting excessive force on the teeth are the gum line, gum areas, and pocketing. If you have pockets, or you have inflammation of your gums, or you have periodontal pockets where bacteria have already invaded under your gums a little bit maybe and are living on the roots, and you're in a program where you have to go every 3 months and have, you know, deep cleanings and all that kind of stuff. If you have that and you're clenching and grinding, you can make the damage to your bone and supporting structures for the teeth, you can make that get a lot worse very quickly if you're doing heavy forces on your teeth. Because like I said before, when you put force on the teeth, the body sends osteoclasts and osteoblasts in order to help permit movement of the teeth in the direction that you're pushing them, because that's the same way that we move teeth orthodontically. So if you have bone loss, your body will send osteoclasts to damage, to remove more bone if the bone is in the way, and that way the teeth can move. And this is how teeth end up getting loose or moving out of their original positions. So, all right. So a sleep appliance will do a lot of things if it is designed correctly. These are the most bulky and probably the most uncomfortable of all of the appliances. However, there are some types. There are about 100 different ones out there that have been patented or trademarked and are approved by the FDA for use for sleep apnea. Some of them are metal-free, some aren't. Some of them are more comfortable than others. Some are made of higher quality plastics, lower quality. Some of them are easier to replace a part if you get some new dental work, if you get a new bridge or a new crown, or, you know, to have the entire thing made all over again is kind of expensive and more expensive for certain types of these than others, depending on what type is or what brand is selected. So there are a lot of different options there. But a sleep appliance will, you cannot grind your teeth if you're wearing a sleep appliance. It solves that problem, but it also supports your jaw in a forward position and keeps your tongue off the back of your throat so that you cannot have this closure and stoppage of your breathing. And so your entire system gets kind of much better sleep and better rest when you have that. But if your apnea is moderate or severe, then you really ought to try a CPAP first and see whether that is workable for you. Because if it's not, and you can't stand having the thing on your nose or on your face and the machine, and you got to take it with you when you travel, all that kind of thing. Some people will get a sleep appliance also and use that when they're traveling or whatever. But the airway is extremely vulnerable during sleep. There are a lot of people, we don't know why, it's like an epidemic, but people have, more and more people seem to have this throat closure, this collapsibility of the pharynx. Could be a lot of different reasons for that. The industry is not particularly focused on figuring out why so many people have this as they are on figuring out how to diagnose it and treat it effectively. And basically, you know, long-term chronic disease management is the name of the game, not cures. Where have we heard that before? Almost every other disease. So in any event, if you do have these problems, you really should get checked and tested and see whether you have an airway problem, because an appliance or a CPAP or a nasal PAP, any kind of airway splinting or support, will make a huge difference to your quality of life. Believe me, it does. All right, so you are listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. And if you have any questions about appliances for sleep or TMJ or grinding and clenching or any other topics that I've talked about, give us a call, 425-427-8899, and you can reach the front desk by email with your questions at appointments@naturaldentist.com. I'll be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know, going to the dentist can be tough, but did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you.
Their easy, no gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Bored with the other stations hammering away on the same old talking points? Try Alternative Talk 1150 and get some variety.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. You're listening to Dental MD. And today I'm talking about mouth guards. And I want to cover some sort of combination therapies. Like, let's say you have a jaw joint problem, popping, clicking, pain. That is a condition that or limited mouth opening. Sometimes that's a problem because if you're going to have any kind of appliance, you need to be able to open enough to have impressions done. We have a little no impression temporary guard that people can wear that helps with pain until we can get an impression and make a more definitive type of appliance. But if somebody has combination of problems, like they're clenching and grinding, a lot of tooth wear, tooth breakage, periodontal issues, gum disease, and popping and clicking in the joint, pain in the joint, inability to open very wide, and sleep apnea. Let's say you had everything. Your throat closes and you can't breathe at night and you've got, all right. So there are a lot of people, a lot of practitioners that will say, if you have problems with your jaw joint, then you shouldn't have a sleep appliance. Well, that's not always true because a sleep appliance can sometimes, because it supports the jaw and holds the jaw forward a little bit, it actually creates a little bit of space in the joint and can be helpful for jaw joint problems. Usually what happens in a case like that is that your bite is never the same after that and you can't bite in your back teeth, and that has to be dealt with. You shouldn't, if you have TMJ problems, if you are going to a dentist that knows that this is going to happen and understands how to fix your occlusion so that you can chew once you're regularly using an appliance for airway or TMJ jaw joint pain adjustment fixing, your bite is likely to change. And if they don't know about this, know to expect it, and know what to do to either prevent it or allow you to chew through the process with specialized appliances that give you a bite in a position where your jaw doesn't click or pop or hurt. A dentist that has that extra training, such as myself, knows how to anticipate whether this is going to happen, and I know how to solve those problems for you as we go. And I know to anticipate those problems in cases like that. And so I'm perfectly comfortable making a sleep appliance, an airway appliance for somebody who has a jaw joint discrepancy, popping, clicking, or pain, because I'm also going to treat that TMJ problem at the same time and work with your bite, which is going to change. If you want to stay out of pain, then usually the bite changes as the position of the joint changes to one where you don't have pain or noise. Anyway, it's complicated and everything's connected. That's the holistic way to look at everything, is how does one thing affect another area and how do you get everything into balance so that you have good functionality and no pain and popping and clicking, and that you can sleep well and chew during the day because your occlusion, your bite has been worked with and corrected. All of these things. And, you know, the other part of it is there are a lot of different ways to correct your bite. One is like a full mouth reconstruction with, you know, redoing a lot of old restorations and new crowns. And it doesn't have to be done that way. It can also be done with a removable appliance, especially if you're missing some teeth. That makes a lot of sense to do a partial denture that has the height on it and chewing position built in so that you don't have problems chewing and grinding food. But if you don't want to wear something removable all the time, then the dental work. And that's a full mouth reconstruction. A lot of general dentists are not comfortable doing a full mouth reconstruction because they're concerned, especially if you've had TMJ problems, that they're going to sort of lock you in permanently into a bite that isn't comfortable long term, or that you're going to break the restorations by clenching and grinding on them. And they just, you know, it's keeping the jaw in the position that's comfortable, full range of motion, or at least an improved range of motion, and without noises and popping and clicking and pain, and getting you into keeping you stable and comfortable there while your bite is being kind of rebuilt with new crowns or bridges or whatever you need. That's complicated. It's difficult, and it requires knowing what to do if you have, you know, a recurrence of popping in the joint during that process and that kind of thing. And the sleep appliance, while it does support the jaw forward, sometimes it can be so far forward in order to keep your airway open that your jaw joint actually gets aggravated by this. And, you know, there's kind of a balance point where you have to work with the joint. You may have to tolerate something with your joint in order to have the sleep appliance, or you work with the joint, do a simpler type of NightGuard to prevent the clenching, and use a CPAP for your airway and have like a combination of different things so that you can breathe and not damage your teeth. A lot of times people will go and get a CPAP or an airway support and not get a NightGuard or some kind of guard for the teeth or positioner for the jaw joint. It is possible to wear a TMJ splint or jaw positioner or just a simple NightGuard along with your CPAP, which is the, you know, positive pressure airway all night long, that keeps your airway open. And sometimes that's the best combination because it keeps your jaw comfortable, keeps you from clenching and damaging your teeth, and you have the CPAP for your airway support. So what combination of mouth guards and CPAP that that people need or that will be the most comfortable long-term and the most convenient for people, that really depends on who you go to and what gets offered to you as options. So being trained in all these different areas, I can offer you a lot of different options for combinations of types of, you know, fixes for different problems. Now, one of the things that I do for kids and also for adults is if we're going to position your teeth, you don't always position your jaw to get rid of the popping, clicking pain, improve range of motion. To get you into that position, you don't always have to have a full mouth reconstruction of old restorations. Sometimes it makes more sense, especially if you don't have a lot of old restorations. It makes sense to move the teeth so that you know, orthodontically, do orthodontics to move the teeth to where they support your bite in the position where your jaw doesn't pop or click and doesn't hurt. That is very possible, but that's another type of orthodontic goal that a lot of general dentists don't know how to do, and even a lot of orthodontists that are specialists don't know how to do it, or they know how to do it, but they don't want to deal with people who have had a history of jaw joint pain or clicking, and they will not treat adults who have history of TMJ problems. So, but I do offer orthodontics as one of the possible solutions to get your bite comfortable and stable in the jaw position where you don't have the pain and popping and clicking. And then if you also have an airway issue, then we need to work with that either with appliances or with having you get airway support from the sleep doctor in terms of some kind of CPAP machine. For kids, if I see their permanent teeth are starting to come in and I see like an overclosed bite or a bite that I think is predisposed to popping and clicking later because of jaw to jaw position being out of balance, either the midline is off or it's the bite is too deep or the lower jaw is so far back that they're already having problems in the jaw joint or they have the potential for problems. We can get that during early orthodontics. We can do expansion, make room for permanent teeth, and we can also align the jaw joints, balance the muscles, and use specific types of appliances that allow the teeth to come all the way into the right place and support the bite in the position that is not predisposed to popping and clicking and pain later in life. So we can possibly prevent some of these problems by doing early orthodontics. All right, today's show has been about mouth guards, and I explained about tooth wear and different kinds of guards and combinations of therapies. You have been listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. If you have questions about today's topic or any other topics that I've discussed, please give us a call, 425-427-8899, or reach the front desk by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. Thank you for listening.